Hey everyone, this podcast is part of Story Mode, the podcast network of Gamefully Unemployed. You can support us and gain access to other great exclusive podcasts like Tom and Jeff Watch Batman by heading over to patreon.com/gamefullyunemployed. That's patreon.com/GAMEFULLY unemployed, which is spelled like it sounds.
Halbkasten mit Tom Reimann und David Bell.
Hello, everybody.
Hi.
Welcome to Hypecast.
Hype.
Hype. You're doing a great job. The show where we get hyped about stuff and things. I'm one of the co-hosts, David Bell. And as you can probably tell by me doing the intro, Thomason is not here. He is absent. He is fine. Everything's fine. I didn't murder Tom.
No, you definitely didn't.
Definitely didn't. But I have a new co-host here. Say hi.
Hi, it's Star. You guys know me. I've been on the show before.
You know Star. You love Star.
Guys. I miss you guys. I miss you all.
They miss you too. Thanks for being on.
Yeah, of course.
Are you ready to be hyped? How was your day?
It's a day. It's fine.
Yeah.
This is the most exciting part of my day, so I am actually hyped.
That's cool. I've been drinking a lot of oat milk. I know this is unrelated to movies.
Wait, how are you liking oat milk, though?
I'm really liking oat milk.
Oat milk's weirdly, it's almost like more milk than milk, and it's weird.
It's like if you put a waffle in a juicer. Like, yes. It tastes like a waffle.
It's cereal milk.
Yeah, it's cereal milk. It's
great. Cereal milk. It's delicious, but it's almost too much.
Mm-hmm.
But it's great for coffee and tea.
It's really good for coffee. That's how I met it. I was at the Whole Foods because my folks are in town and they're from.
Oh, this was your first experience with an oat milk.
Yeah,
I went to a fancy coffee shop that I was just like, oh, I have no business being here, and they were like, have you tried oat milk yet? And I was like, no, but lactose intolerant, so yeah, let's give it a shot. And I was like, oh, this is trouble.
Yeah, I wouldn't make like mac and cheese with it.
No, God, no.
But I tried a coffee with oat milk, and I was like, this is fucked up. And so I just bought a thing of oat milk, and I've been drinking the shit out of it.
Highly recommend, even though I'm not sure if it's good for the environment.
It is. It's better than almond milk. That's for darn tootin'.
That is true.
Yeah.
But if you have a gluten allergy, I'm sorry.
Yeah, they just have to milk the little oat teats. That's what they're doing, right? They got a little oat farm and they got little oats crawling around.
Yeah, I think.
And they milk the little oats.
I'm just imagining somebody with their hands.
Yeah.
Tinyly. You can't see my hand gestures, but imagine milking cow teats, but very closely together.
Yeah.
And tiny.
Yeah, it's adorable. It's an adorable little farm. Maybe ants. Ants milking oats. That's how we get it.
Mm, yeah.
Little grubby ant legs. Mm-hmm. Don't you
ants
want
just mixed up in your oat milk?
Oats?
I'm just imagining ants mm-hmm. just stirred up in there. You know, good for protein, I guess.
Yeah, ants. Have you ever tasted ants?
Not on purpose.
Okay, I think we've talked about this privately. They're like nature's lemon drop. They're delicious.
I'm not interested in eating bugs intentionally.
Okay.
That's like my line of all. I will try in almost anything once. But bugs just are like, I get that they're good for you. I know ethically too, they're best option. But I just, I can't, I can't with the creepy crawlies.
That's fair. I think you could do crickets because they don't look like
crickets.
No,
I really
they're
can't.
All roasted.
I'm terrified of grasshoppers. You know this.
Well, then defeat them with your mighty jaws.
Crickets are just tiny grasshoppers and it's just, it's a bad time.
All right. We should probably do stuff, podcast stuff.
Sure.
We have Hypecast producers now, which people probably know. And it's through our Patreon, and people can become a producer of the show. And you get all sorts of merch, but you also get a shout out. And I feel really bad about this first shout out, because I know why they chose this name for the shout out, and I just can't do it justice. Our new producer this week is Where's Bane? It's from Tom and Jeff Watch Batman.
Oh, I see.
It is normally done. Oh, yeah. Well, you had a hand in this.
Yeah.
You just made the Where's Bane t-shirt.
I did design the t-shirt, which, sorry, that took so long. It was on my list every week
for about
a year.
Yeah, we weren't like desperate for it, but
I just felt bad because I committed to a project and I was like, oh no, I have no time.
Right.
But it got done, and now it exists, and now delightful. You guys can get it.
Yeah.
Where's Bane?
That's my best impression.
It's Ben Mendelsohn
in The Dark Knight. No, The Dark Knight Rises, wondering where Bane is. If Tom was here, he would nail it.
Yes.
So where's Bane? I am sorry Tom's not here. He'll be here next week. He'll do it justice. But thank you so much. Real quick, he was specifically contacting me saying that we should send Jeff's, like, Tom and Jeff Watch Batman. He has written notes for all the episodes.
Oh.
And we should send it to the Hypecast producers, and I'm just gonna say that we are absolutely going to do that. So if you're part of this tier, you're going to get Jeff's personal notes for that show. But anyway, see why this could take a while.
Yes,
I'm not
gonna
go through every name like this. He was new, wanted to say hi. There's also Hiram, which I believe is pronouncing the name right. He messaged me and said you are
okay.
So that's
there you go.
Good.
It's that guy.
Yeah, it's that guy.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody knows that guy. And yeah. Thank you, that guy. Next, you want to go in? We can switch it off.
Yeah,
we sometimes do two at a time.
I'm just trying to figure out how to, is it the left?
Left? I don't know. Left? L-E-F. Left, thank you so much. Also, thanks to Bob Grenville. he did the newest we just watched this week. We watched a vampire kung fu movie.
Oh, excellent.
From the 70s. It was delightful.
Okay, I need to watch that. I love those type of...
Yeah, had Peter Cushing as Van Helsing. He was very old.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Nolan Matten, thank you.
Yes.
Thank you so much. Joshua Graves, thank you so much.
Andrew,
you're the best.
Andrew McGuire. I'm
Maguire.
So bad at pronouncing names.
Like Tobey Maguire.
Even the famous ones, I'm not good at pronouncing names.
Neither am I. I'm not good at pronouncing.
But I think it's fair.
Anything.
Most people mispronounce my name, so I'm just like, oh, we're all even.
Yeah,
that's fine.
Yeah, that's true. Thank you, Andrew. Thank you to Ozzy with
nice
two
Ozzy.
Z's. Ozzy. I forget who we decided Ozzy was. I don't know. We try to identify these people. Tom, quasi dangerous levels of hype K.
Nice.
Thank you as well. Not dangerous yet. You'll get there.
Bart Fardigan?
Yeah,
I like
you get
that
Bart
name.
Fardigan.
I like Bart Fardigan. That's a great name.
I do. Yeah, I agree. It's just rolls off your tongue. It's poetry. AJ?
Cool.
AJ.
I don't want to say the next name. I was like, nah, that's...
Oh, I want you to say it now.
Okay.
You don't have to, but I think America wants you to.
Tip Drizzle. Good for you, buddy.
Good for you, Tip Drizzle. Thank you. Frank Lee Amish. That's another fun one. It's Frank Lee and then Amish.
Frank
Lee Amish.
It's
or maybe it's his a name and
it's
he's like
a J.K. Rowling type punny situation.
Yeah, you're right.
Frank Lee Amish.
Miss Voidus. That's another really fun one to say.
Yeah, that's good. Miss Voidus.
You want to do the next one?
The Ghost of Dave Thomas.
That's pretty self-explanatory.
Oh, yeah. Oh, man, now I want Wendy's.
Well, there's still time.
Yeah, there is. I might get... Yeah, that might happen after this.
Ghost of Dave Thomas. You see what you just did? Aaron Burser.
Hi, Aaron Burser.
Aaron Burser. Classic.
Very.
We love you.
I'm going to go see Hamilton later this year. I'm
oh,
excited
yeah?
about that.
I need to see that. I want to see that.
You should see that. It's very good.
Yeah. You should do the next one.
David Knife Boot Henson.
You nailed it.
You have to. There's three.
Boot.
There's three exclamation points.
Yeah,
it's very specific.
It.
You have to go for it.
Christopher Robert Spartz Esquire.
Oh, that's how you pronounce that. I was like, Esk?
Yeah, I know. It's weird. Topher Bobby, as we call him. Thank you so much.
Mackenzie, quote, righteous hand of the lizard people, chill.
It's a solid one.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Mr. Chill, thank you. Also, thank you to Funky J.
Funky J.
We took turns guessing what the J was. We landed on Jesus, but we haven't.
My first thought was Jasper.
Funky Jasper. I like that. And finally, Pie Guy.
Pie Guy.
We love you, Pie Guy. We know you. We see you. Thank you so much.
Good for you for being into numbers.
Yeah, Pie Guy is always last when we list it because he was, the first to do this tier. So
he gets the most shout outs.
Yeah. We could also mix it up, like jumble. I don't know if people care about order. That would be
no.
Weird
I think
if
you should
did.
Keep the order. I think Pie Guy being the last, implying that they are the first, is
that's true.
Truly special.
Yeah. So thanks, guys.
Yeah.
I guess we should get on to the trailers.
Ooh, hype.
Hype. Trailer hype.
Trying to stay super excited after a day of work.
Keep it up. You're almost there.
I'll get there. It'll be great.
You don't have to be hyped. Like,
I know,
I don't know. Me and Tom do so many of the podcasts. There's just frankly ones where we're pooped and I bet people can hear it. And I'm sorry for everybody who hears that, you know, but you know,
but I feel like if this is truly like someone's reprieve from the world when they're listening to this, I want to try because everything's a hellfire and it's just trying to like be like this is a break from
it's
it.
True your people are driving home from work on Friday and they get hyped to spend a weekend watching trailers. That's what you do on the weekend.
I mean, that's what I do.
Yeah, our first one is for Westworld season 3.
I was like, well, I started this thing and it's not going to disappoint me like Game of Thrones. So I'm going to watch it with level of enthusiasm.
Okay. Is it not going to disappoint you like Game of Thrones because you're ready to be disappointed?
Yes, exactly. I'm not going in like this is going to be the best. It's just like, oh, this will end and I'm going to see how they decide to end it. And okay.
I have this year allowed myself to stop watching shows. I started watching Watchmen, and it was very good, but the plot wasn't going anywhere.
Mm.
And I was like, you know what? I'm going to stop watching this.
Oh, you've done the opposite of me, where I just don't start shows.
Right.
I'm just like, I don't need more. I'll just wait.
Yeah.
Or I just don't. I just don't.
I get very irritated when a show is trying to just fill me with riddles and not give answers because I feel like they just don't know what they're doing. Mm-hmm. I watched Lost. It all came from watching Lost.
Yeah, Lost was still, I'm still chasing that Lost high.
Yeah.
I loved Lost. I was fucking in. I played the ARG game.
Wow.
I called the Sprite number and tried to figure shit out. You guys remember that? I'm sure you do. But I called, And the fall for Lost for me was once they like, spoilers if you haven't watched Lost, when they kill off Charlie because he was my favorite, and I was just like, it's harder and harder for me to care about everybody because my favorite character was gone, and it started turning into a mess. Although I did like time travel, I do like that.
Okay,
but I was also like, I don't know.
I was immune to it because I only watched it after it had been finished, and I binge watched it.
Oh, so you got a good. I feel like that's honestly the better way.
Well, it's definitely the way that gave me more perspective.
Yeah.
Because I watched it all, binge watched it, and ended, and I went, oh, well, that sucked. Because it was like, well, you didn't fucking answer anything. Everything was a fucking mess.
I've had more people who, when they binge watched it afterward, enjoyed it more than the people who like watched it like in real time, as I did. Because when I ended it, I was just like, am I satisfied? I think I am because I made myself accept that this is where it was gonna be,
right? Because you've committed that
I committed, and I was like, and I'm a fan, and I'm glad like
I can see that being a problem.
You know, but other people who were like, they didn't have to wait. They were like, oh, I really liked all the symbolism by the end.
Right. It doesn't have to be perfect when you aren't waiting like 6 years.
Yeah, and literally calling Sprite and being like, what's the code? And what does Dharma mean? And like trying to piece together things, not playing the video game because you didn't have time, but reading all the Wikipedia and all the other people screenshotting the video game, which is canon.
Yeah.
The video game was actually pretty dope, but...
I would agree with you that I wasn't angry. I was just like, oh, that was gibberish. Okay. Like, yeah. I could remember more. So I could, like, you know, because I had watched stuff from season one earlier in, like, the month, yeah. You know?
If you guys ever do a not, like, similar to the Batman podcast, if you want to do a Lost rewatch, I am down.
Good to know.
Because there's a part of me that wants to go back and have the memories, but then also relive the like, fuck, what are we doing?
I would want it to be you and Cody. That's my dream because Cody loves Lost. He defends it. He thinks it all makes sense.
I am in the camp of, it's that my heart was broken, but I refuse to accept that my heart was broken.
That's fair.
And you need somebody kind of maybe who hasn't watched it before.
Yeah.
You might need that in
there.
I think
it's better to have two people who either completely hate the show or actually like it doing it. You know, you're right in the sweet spot where you would be forgiving of it, but critical enough.
Oh, I have to be critical of it because there's a lot of shit in there that's like, what the fuck are we doing?
Yeah. But this is a long way of saying that, I got through season one of Westworld. I read the news about how they had to halt the season to finish writing it.
Oh, yeah. You could tell.
Yeah, yeah.
That samurai episode, what the fuck? Yeah.
And then season two was no different. It's all very well made, filled with amazing actors, but none of it's amounting to anything that makes sense.
Season three, I mean, this trailer seems like it seems like this is it, right? This is the last season?
I don't know if it's going to be by choice.
I hope so. I kind of hope that this is the last season because then I was like, oh, clearly it's going to be Maeve versus Dolores, and I'm kind of into that. I'm kind of curious to see how that's going to go.
This new trailer definitely gave me
Aaron Paul.
Yeah. I don't know why
and
he's
I like
in it.
I like him.
It still feels like, and the teaser gave me this impression way more. This at least has a little more explanation, but it feels like for season three, since season two they just ran out of story at the park. They've just reset.
They're like, let's just kill all. Kill all the natives.
Like, yeah.
What? Like,
I don't think you should be allowed in your show to run out of things and then restart your show with an entirely new setting and premise, because that's what this feels like.
Yeah, it's a reboot.
Yeah, and it's like, well, this shouldn't have ever happened if you couldn't get three seasons in without having to reset everything and kill everybody off. And like that said, the fact that they're doing... that they have those two characters and they're doing, it seems focused on them, makes me think like, oh, okay, at least they are kind of continuing what they started.
Yeah, I'll watch it. It's going to be a very casual, not excited watch. Like if I miss a couple episodes and get spoiled, I'm not going to be like, God damn it. I'll just be like, all right.
Yeah. It's hard to care about it, but I don't know. I'm still on the fence. I probably won't pick it back up. Because again, I'm trying to allow myself to do that. I'm trying to say, you know what? You don't need to see this through if it's not making you happy. And you know what? I'm not going to bother people who like it. Like, it's just like, yeah. It's fine.
That's kind of how I am with the next show.
Yeah. The next show is Stranger Things season 4. Did you watch?
Here's the thing. I've only watched season 1 and I was just like,
oh, right.
And
you,
I was like,
hate scary
oh,
things.
This was scary. I understand what the zeitgeist is now for this show. And I'm good. I don't need any more. I don't need to see children growing up being terrified of scary shit. So when I watched this trailer, everyone was just like, Hooper. I'm like, what?
It's Hopper, I think.
Whatever.
all right. Well, here's the thing.
He was supposed to be dead or something?
Yeah. All right. Well, like, this came out. This is like the reveal. But not to offend, but if anybody legitimately thought he was dead, they just have never watched television before. It was that sort of thing where he dies off screen and it's like an explosion and then he's gone.
Oh, he's not dead?
Yeah, exactly.
That's classic TV, not dead.
And he's also like one of the main characters and most beloved, and it's like, no, they didn't kill him off. The moment they kill him,
people liked him last season.
Like, nah, he's not dead.
I thought I saw critiques.
I think you would like that season more. It's still got some spooky shit. It's definitely got some gross shit. Man,
I know people were really into the costumes. I saw the at the place with the colorful outfit.
You love a
and
good
the
aesthetic.
'80s. Oh yeah, no, I watched. All the art, and I saw the fan art.
Yeah, you like dopey ass characters.
And I know Steve becomes like house mom for all these kids.
Steve has had,
like, he's had an incredible arc. Apparently,
he starts in the first season as the shitty
boyfriend who kind of by the end is just like not shitty. And I was like, oh, that's a good turn for you.
Yeah, it's very like Spielberg. It's the idea that at the end it's the common enemy. Oh, we have to fight monsters. He's still Nancy still goes back to him, and he's still like. He hasn't become less shitty. And then season two,
he becomes like bros with this girl or something.
That's season three. In season two, it's basically like the shattering of his ego. And then in season three, he's basically a comedic, like a comic relief
dope.
That's
great.
And then he has a relationship with a girl who, spoilers, turns out to be gay. And you think it's going to be a romance. And then that she reveals that to him. Mm-hmm. And this is the 80s. And he's just like, oh, okay. And like completely, it just like goes
subverts
by him.
The, like, and
yeah, he
like,
just does it.
He's like, all right, now we're bros.
Yeah, exactly. He just, it rolls off of him and he becomes like, it's just him slowly becoming like
if there was a way for me to watch this
cool
show
character.
As like a regular 80s TV show without the horror, I would probably love it.
Yes.
I want
there's a
that
lot
show.
You would really love.
Which is why I like. I'm just
like
you kind of
just need to watch it with someone who has seen it, and they can go, "Don't look."
I mean, that would be great. I would also be down for that. Like, just give me edited versions of this where it's just the '80s part.
Yeah.
Would be.
You want the VHS tape that parents would provide for kids, they'd edit out all the stuff.
I want the 4 TV version that plays in the middle of the day that edited out all like the cusses and like the scary stuff, and they change all the cursing to like. She was such a witch. You know, like I want.
Yeah, you want the TNT version. I get that. I don't know. I think it's the creators wanted it to end at season 4. I think it's going to go one more season. Hopefully they'll be able to. Because the other thing about season 3 is it's like, oh, this can't last because the kids are getting old and ugly. So it's like.
Is this next season in the 90s?
Jeez, I don't think we're that far into the 90s. I don't know.
Because it was last one was like late 80s, right? Or like mid 80s. So it's got to be like Little Mermaid's coming out. It's got to be like a 88, 89.
Right, yeah. This is like our Mad Men, isn't it? Like I liked Mad Men.
I loved Mad Men.
But it like.
Fuck, then, I want to rewatch
if you
that.
Watch it, yeah. If you watch it with like, old people who like remember it, they're like, they're loving it even more. Because they're like, oh, I know what. I remember that. This is like. Our generation's version, which isn't to say, I mean, Mad Men was sort of our generation's Mad Men as well. So.
Yeah. But man, fuck, now you're just good. I was like, fuck, Mad Men.
Yeah,
great.
I might have to rewatch the shit out of
Mad
Men.
Yeah, that's going to happen. I'm definitely going to do that.
Okay, well, next one is the full trailer, the big trailer for Steven Spielberg's Amazing Stories on Apple TV. I don't know.
Is this a reboot?
Yeah, I think there was a show called Amazing Stories, and I think it's an anthology series. Which explains why everything in this looks unrelated.
Yeah, yeah.
And there's like Grandpa Superman.
My comment was X-Men?
Yeah.
Because it just seemed like people getting superpowers and then being like, I'm going to do things now. And I was like, it's cool. I mean, that's fine. The only character I was interested in was the one where they showed her like perspective on vision and it was like a 3D camera.
Yeah.
Like she was like a pigeon. Where she could see, like, on the sides.
Oh, yeah, that was
or
cool.
Or a horse. Like,
I couldn't tell if that was just a camera, like, a style
I thought
choice.
That was now her vision. This is how she sees the world now. I was just like, how do you live like that? Yeah. All right, let's go for it.
Have you seen anything advertised for Apple TV that will cause you to get it?
I am tempted for Mythical Quest.
Yeah.
And that's just the billboard. I know nothing about it. And I was just like, that, maybe?
It's kind of Silicon Valley. It's
oh,
like
then
a,
never mind.
Yeah, like
you
a
lost
it.
I was like, based on the billboard, I was just like, maybe that.
It's
and
basically
then...
Silicon Valley, but game designers.
Oh, yeah. Well, then that's the opposite of what I wanted.
Yeah.
I wanted an actual Mythical Quest that I was like, what is this fantasy D&D?
It's a real shame. It's that's
type.
It's basically they're like, I think the advertising and the name of that show is couldn't be worse.
Oh, I'm sad now that it's not D&D.
Yeah.
That's all I wanted.
Yeah. It's a real shame. Yeah, when I first saw that, I was like, oh, is this going to be like Harmon Quest? Is this going to be
Yeah, I was like hyped for Well, never mind. That was the one thing.
Yeah.
I think there was something else and I don't remember what it was.
There's the M. Night Shyamalan show. Or is that for something else? I can't keep track anymore. There's like two new things. No, I think it's Apple. All I know
was
is
there
that...
anything animated coming out on Apple TV?
Maybe. Probably.
If there was, maybe that, but I don't remember.
It's just,
everything just seems for like people for like it seems like shows for boomers. Is that what
Yeah, it really well no, because I think it's they just have no fucking clue what they're doing.
Yeah.
Because
and they're not Netflixing it where it's just like throw money at everything. Yeah. It's very like we're in control of everything and right. It's not fun.
And they're not Disney Plusing it. Disney Plus
has content.
Yeah, the thing I didn't think I was going to get was just like, but look at The Mandalorian. I was just like, yeah, that's a good point, Disney Plus. I guess yeah. I'll have to watch The Mandalorian.
Mandalorian, solid. I actually even watched their little like one like a day at Disney shorts where they like follow, right. They follow an employee at Disneyland or Disney World. They're like, this is what we do. And I was just like, this is my jam. And if I was a little kid, this would be super my jam because yeah. I like watching people work at the places I want to go hang out in, and I'm like, look, they have fun at work. Trick yeah. me.
Yeah, and then of course just having The Simpsons on all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So but like Apple TV, it's just it's like,
and their Nat Geo stuff is actually like oh yeah
Nat Geo.
Yeah, I was like, oh fuck, I forgot they had Nat Geo on here, and I just turn on documentaries and leave them on in the background all the time.
Yeah, so they have something to offer the world. Apple TV just really doesn't seem like it does.
Yeah, Apple I'm like, what yeah, I don't know who is it for. I know that Steve Carell's show is on there was people were talking about for like a half a second, and
I think boomers is a good assessment. It's people, because here's the thing, Apple is not for us anymore. I can't at least buy an Apple computer.
Yeah,
like a good one. I can't.
I'm trying to save up because I need to
like
I need it for my work, and I'm just like, it's right out of my range, and right. The economy is trash,
so. Yeah, like, and oh, so fuck. It's kind of, if you buy a lot of Apple products, you might get the Apple TV, and then it might be like, hey, you want to, and I think you can watch it on Netflix and shit too, I think. Maybe not. I haven't, or not Netflix, sorry, PS4, but I haven't seen anything on any other platform saying we offer
just,
Apple TV.
Yeah, it's just, here's this thing, here's this device,
right.
And it's very enclosed, and it's like, nah, I'm okay.
Yeah, it's like if the Tesla had original programming in it. It's just like, well, that's for a very specific group of people. And some of these shows are like, oh, I might watch that if it was on Netflix,
yeah.
But you're making it too hard for me.
They're not doing any reality TV anythings either, right?
Not that I know of, but
yeah,
who can say?
Yeah, there's nothing on
there. Oh,
no,
aren't they doing the... I don't know, man. I don't know. I feel like there might be a reality show or a documentary show. I don't know.
Mm. Mm.
I think there is, but I don't remember any of this stuff. I'm so unhyped for Amazing Stories.
It just looked fine.
Yeah.
I like the logo. Hey, there's something I'll say positive. The logo looked kind of cool.
Yeah. Good job, Amazing Stories.
Yeah.
next trailer is for Run.
I saw that and I was like, ooh, this is not for me.
Yeah.
But it didn't look bad. It looked like it would be something that would be interesting for folks who like that type of thriller.
Well, this is what's funny about these movies. This is Sarah Paulson, I believe is her name, and she plays like a mother who has a daughter in a wheelchair who is born with I don't know, they don't specify
it they're implying that she's actually not paralyzed.
Yeah.
That the mom is Munchausen
by proxy, I believe.
Yeah.
And she is making her sick.
That it's not even, maybe you're not even her kid.
Yeah. And the fact that they put that all in the trailer makes me think there's going to be an extra twist. It's just funny because it's framed like a horror film.
Yeah.
But I think this is just
it's a
90s thriller. Yeah.
It's a thriller.
It's just funny how our trailers for thrillers have sort of become horror film trailers.
Yeah,
because
that's why I was saying, I was like, ooh, this isn't for me, but I could see the appeal.
Right.
Because I could tell it was more thriller. When you make me watch a horror, I'm just like, no, fuck this.
Yeah.
Why does this exist? I don't like this. No. But
right.
This was like, oh, I can understand an audience going to see this.
Right.
kind of thing. Yeah. And I could see the appeal of somebody feeling like they are losing control. Like, I could see it being analyzed and broken down and studied and all
of that. This feels like I might watch it on streaming someday, but it's also a movie where you watch the trailer and you're like, oh, I know exactly how that film's going to go.
Yeah. I'll read the summary on Wikipedia when the plot comes out. I was like, oh, okay, cool.
We need more sexy thrillers. Having listened to, like, on Small Beans, they did... the director piece theater on Basic Instinct.
Oh.
And like there was that great pocket of the 90s where it's like all the thrillers were also sexy and you got to see like your favorite actors and you got to see Michael Douglas's ass all the time. We could have that back. We could have Michael Douglas in a sexy thriller today, right? We could do it.
Who is today's Michael Douglas?
I think he's irreplaceable.
Is that a Leo? Leonardo?
He's Michael Douglas was in that. He's in the Costner territory, which I think we've talked about on the show before, which is that for a weird pocket of time, he was sexy. And nothing against Michael Douglas. He's not a bad looking guy, nor is Costner. But then you look suddenly back you're like, that's weird. That's weird. That
you know what? I think it was the voice. I think it was the voice. He has a good voice. It's nice.
He does. And he's like the sinister, dangerous guy. Like, I think the Gordon Gekko role and stuff gave him that.
Good voice, nice, good hair. He had good, solid hair.
Yeah. Who would be the Michael Douglas of today? Michael Douglas also never felt young in movies. I know he...
Is Robert Downey going in that direction?
He's too, like, witty. He's too, like, quirky. I don't know, man. Someone step up and be the Michael Douglas of today.
Yeah, we need it. We need it.
We need a new Michael Douglas. I mean, we have a Michael Douglas. And thanks to Marvel, we can de-age him anytime we want.
Oh my God, you're right. Mm-hmm. Holy shit.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. A sexy Michael Douglas thriller, de-age him through CGI.
Whoa.
Keep him as he is.
No. Beautiful. I'm into this de-aging aspect. I feel like I'm curious about what that movie would be.
It would probably be horrifying to watch.
Yeah, that's why I'm kind of like
watching Gumby have sex.
That's Uncanny Valley, the situation.
Yeah, Uncanny Valley sex scenes. Ooh. I don't know.
That's a new kink.
Oh yeah,
that's a whole.
It'll be for a very specific group
of
people.
There'd be a lot of teenagers having their awakening to that and just being like, "Well, that's imprinted in my brain now forever."
That was one of a layer of watching Cats, where I know that like the furry community they don't seem to be into cats. I think you told me that
because it's not the fur.
It
too human.
Exactly. But there's got to be somebody.
Oh, yeah. There's somebody watching it being like, yep.
And it was like, this is it. Crap.
I like this now.
Yeah. This is it for me. And I don't know. Good on them.
I wonder what somebody's going to, they're going to figure out how to make that makeup to look like that.
It would be very spooky. It'd be, it would be pretty horrifying to nail that down. I don't know. So yeah, Michael Douglas in another Cats. I think that's what we landed on.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Let's do it. And the next trailer is for Dream Horse.
Okay, not gonna lie, I cried.
Yeah, you fucking did.
I did. I know it's a trailer that's the whole movie. So if you do watch this trailer, just stop halfway if you just kind of want any type of surprise. But man, emotionally, it hit good. It got me right after that, after lunch. I'm watching these trailers and I was like, man, I feel for this horse. I was like, man, this lady really needs to believe in something. And I believe her that she needs that. And it just felt good.
Oh,
it
was man.
They got me.
This is about a small community who invest in a racing horse. It's a racehorse movie.
It's a community that doesn't have anything.
Yeah.
They don't have jobs. Collette. They're poor.
It's Toni Collette who has been killing it. So she gets at least one dream horse. And it's what's his face from Dreamcatcher. The guy who gets possessed. Tom's not here, so he can't just say the name. Tom, I know you're listening. Just say the name.
Oh my God, Dreamcatcher!
Right? Remember that piece of shit?
Whoa, that's some flashbacks.
Oh yeah, you don't like horror, but here's you watched Dreamcatcher.
I watched Dreamcatcher because at the time it was the only way to see short from the Animatrix, and I too was obsessed with the ARG for the Matrix situation because I like ARGs for expanded universes and stuff. And it was the first movie where they showed like realistic CGI skin.
Yeah, I remember that. It
the
was
Kung Fu
hardcore.
Fighting
well,
thing.
You remember the fucking Final Fantasy Spirits
Within? Yeah. But this was pre or right after that, so the
was
skin was
the
better.
Time. I worked at a movie theater for both of those things.
And then, of course, I was stuck watching Dreamcatcher, which I was terrified up until the moment with the toilet
the
scene.
The shit monster, yeah.
And then I was just like, oh, this is bad.
Yeah,
I'm not scared at all anymore. And I was so like, bad. Oh, okay. What was that? It was one of the first bad movies I've ever watched.
Nice. It's Damian Lewis, by the way, is the name of the guy that I was thinking of that's in Dream Horse and Dreamcatcher. Who's the best part of Dreamcatcher?
I mean, I'm probably not going to go see Dream Horse in the theaters, okay. But if I saw it on a Netflix, I'd be like, you know what? Today's the day I watch Toni Collette.
Like, she's great.
Telepathically communicate with this horse to improve this town's life.
I got a question for you then.
Mm-hmm.
I realized that there is a genre of horse movies where the we're rooting for a horse. There's Secretariat. Is that what that was called? There's War Horse.
People like horses.
Okay, so can you explain this to me? Because horses.
I mean, you're more of a horseman than I am.
Well, I think horses are funny, because. They're just spiders that are big. Like, they have no expression on their face.
Horses are really smart.
Yes, they are.
They're very, very intelligent. And so the fact that we can bond with these giant ass creatures because we're apes that need to bond with everything.
Yeah. I grew up with horse neighbors and they were delightful.
And I think people never get over this whole, like, you know, horses are like, you're like a cowboy.
Yeah.
It's a creature that must be tamed.
Right.
You can't. And once they're tamed, they're like your best friend. They're just big. See, I wouldn't have said spiders. I would have said like more like a dog, but like a smart dog. So like a dog and a dolphin combined.
I think
together.
It's that they're not expressive, which is why they don't seem smart. I guess what it is, because, yeah, I like a good horse.
I don't
horse.
Know. Horses
I like
can,
a good horse.
Remember when we went to that ranch, your friend's ranch?
Yes.
And there was a little dog barking
yapping
at these
at the
giant horses. The horses were mad.
Yeah,
we
that's
could,
true.
With no facial expression, we could tell that these horses were annoyed at this little dog barking at them.
They're just so, they're like giraffes where when you see one in real life, you're like, ah.
Yeah.
They're like Endermen in Minecraft where they're like weird and long and creepy. I don't hate horses. All right, I'm going on record with that.
It's oh no, clearly you adore horses.
What I find funny about them is also, I can't imagine what they think of us, because if horses had like horse internet, they would be like, wait, okay, we don't know what humans are up to, because some of them are like, yeah, they're having me run in a circle until they kill me,
but
and others
like,
are like, yeah, this one like rides me around.
But
oh,
there's
this
horses
one's teaching
that
me to dance. Like, we're doing all sorts of weird shit to horses.
That's true. But there's horses that, like, I have also had a roommate who used to like work at summer camp horse ranch thing,
right.
And there was a horse that used to be a workhorse, but then it became old, and they're like, well, we can't have it working anymore. Because it will hurt itself.
Right.
And so they designated the horse to be like, now you're part of the children's tour and children could ride on you because they're not heavy.
Right.
And the horse hated it. Like, the horse kept trying to go back to the area where it would be a workhorse. It's like, no, I don't want to hang out with the children.
Yeah.
And I was like, how could you tell? And they're like, we had to like retrain this horse to like just be like, you don't have to carry heavy things. But it wanted to. And I was just like, okay, it definitely. Like,
it was its horse purpose.
Yeah, it knew its horse purpose, but it was too old for its horse purpose and was upset, like, when old humans aren't supposed to drive anymore or, like, want. And it's just like, well, you can't. You're a danger to do that now. And I found that fascinating that horses, too, have
hate children, like we all do.
Well.
I think animals have a right
I
to
think
hate kids
of,
whenever an animal hates
I don't
a kid,
hate
I'm
children
like,
but groups of children kind of freak me out, but a couple is fine.
Oh yeah groups of children, they're like piranhas, they'll strip you to your bones.
Yeah, I don't think That's I could take do. On a group of kids. I feel like I would lose that fight.
Yeah. Just horses are weird. I find them weird, and a whole movie about them is the funniest thing. Because, again, this horse has no idea. Someone made a movie about it, and it's
maybe
just like standing there like
what
an asshole.
What if they know more than we think?
Yeah, it's maybe. You know? It's just funny. They couldn't know what a camera is. No one's showing the horse the movie later, I assume. There's not like a horse showing. It's just like all these actors emoting and doing all this stuff around this horse that's just standing there thinking about what it's going to eat next. And it's just like, I don't know what's happening.
I mean,
but
I'm glad to be included. Like, if I stand here and move my head this way, I get a sugar cube.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
It's like dogs in movies. I don't know. I wish this movie was about someone who keeps having a dream about a horse. It's just someone like, I keep.
What if at the end of it, that's what
horse.
It is? It's like, and it was all a dream. They definitely didn't rescue their town because of a horse.
Yeah, I'm going to have to watch this fucking horse movie. Got to get to the bottom of this.
Maybe this could be one of your Friday viewings.
Yeah, that's true. Fucking dream horse.
I don't think it's going to be good.
No, it's going to be sappy as shit.
Yeah, it's just, it's pure pull your heartstrings.
It's about a racehorse saving someone. Like, it's about people who have no money investing in like a rich person thing in the hopes to get money, and watching when they're showing the race and they're like, come on. I was like, yeah, they just need money, right? Like, yeah. they're broke and they spend it all on a fucking horse.
Like, it's a desperate situation.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. I'm sure it's inspiring and it's based off a true story. So
I'll look it up.
Yeah.
I bet the true story is probably sadder.
Most horse stories end in tears, I think.
You know, did I ever tell you about, off track, but not really, the horse anime, the horse girl anime?
Ooh.
Did I tell you about that? Okay.
No.
So,
part horse, part girl?
Yes.
Which parts?
They are human in body,
okay.
But they have, their feet are horse feet.
Hooves.
They wear shoes that have the hooves on them. They have tails and they have horse ears, and they all go to horse track school.
Oh my god.
And they're
god.
All named after real life Japanese racehorses. So their names are like Sunshine, da 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 da, and all this stuff.
Right.
And the story is following the track of an actual very famous Japanese racehorse. So they are telling the real story of this racehorse, but they are all schoolgirls who run track at this horse school, and you're rooting for them to win their races, and one of them gets injured and it's a problem.
Do they shoot her?
No, she has to go through recovery, but it's a thing. But it's like a straight, it's an anime.
This is horrifying.
And there's humans in this world who like bet on these horse girls this is their vision
fuck.
And dream. And then there's like the horses that come from overseas who are like the big Clydesdales. And the way they express that is they have big boobs, because that's how that works.
Right.
Not legs, boobs.
Right. Yeah. You've ever seen Clydesdales. They got big old boobs.
Yeah. But I've watched all of this anime. Oh, and if they win their race, they get to perform a song and dance. That's the prize for winning the race. So at the end of the episode, the horse girls throw a concert and they sing songs for everybody. That's the prize. And they really want that prize to be able to sing at the end of the show.
All right.
Yeah.
Thanks, Japan.
Just look up horse girl anime. I don't know the actual name of it.
Don't look up horse girl anime.
I mean, it exists. I watched it all.
I know I'm going to now.
I watched it all and I was entertained. I mean, they got me. I was rooting for the main girl.
Sure.
Her mom was a racehorse and didn't get to go to the finals. Aww. And she was born and her mom died. And so this human woman raised this horse girl to be like, you're going to be like your mom. And she's like, that's all I want to do is run a race and win a race.
Me.
And then
I have actually bet on.
I look it up, you guys. Look up the pictures.
It's weird. I've actually bet on Japanese horse racing because.
You've sponsored this anime at some point.
Yeah.
Then.
For a brief window, I think after we went to horse racing, which is.
That
at
place
the Santa Anita Park.
We cursed that place.
Cursed long before.
No,
because
it
there.
Started the horses dying kind of started after my birthday two years ago.
Horse racing isn't a good thing, for the record, but we went because it's like freaking right horse ratings novel.
And it's a beautiful venue, which then Hannah pointed out used to be a temporary Japanese internment camp. And yeah. I was like, oh, fuck.
So it's just an evil place.
Oh, no.
But like after that, I saw that you can do it online. And I was like, oh, let me look. And I bet on a Japanese horse race.
Nice.
And then I lost. And I was like, okay, I am never going to do this because this is a long, dark path to oblivion is gambling online. But it was neat to get to see like international races and like,
well, you could have just, you could go to the horse track here and just hang out with all the olds and like, watch.
I told you, I accidentally did it on a day cause I went on my own to do like just work. I brought my laptop.
Oh yeah. They got Wi-Fi. You could chill there.
Yeah. And I went on a day that there wasn't actually a live horse race and the difference is big.
Yeah.
It is suddenly a very dark place. No. It's just like, oh no.
I just like going because the place is old and historic and has been in a ton of movies and it's kind of like a cool venue, minus this is obviously before knowing it was also a temporary Japanese internment camp, but that's not what it was built for. It's just that's what it turned into briefly
before, which, it was a horse slaughterhouse,
right, which we think there's just an angry ghost or something going on with the horses
because
they cannot figure out why it's happening. They've checked the track so many times because they don't want these horses to die.
They've all invested
a lot of money in these horses. They do not want them to be injured and they don't know why it's happening.
Most people don't want horses to die on a massive scale. Most people.
And
not everybody.
Yeah, they're trying to figure it out. I think it's something to do with because we were in a drought for a long time and then we got rain and I think it fucked up the track.
Probably.
That's my guess, but who knows?
I don't know. This is way off topic.
off topic, but horses.
Horses! So check out Dream Horse, the movie about horse racing.
Oh,
actually,
no.
I'd say check out this Japanese horse racing. That's just my God.
Yeah, no horses die in that because it's an anime.
Yeah, that's a fetish too, I assume.
Oh, 100%. Okay. It is a fetishy show, but I watched it because I was like, what the fuck is this? And then I was like, oh no, I need to see the ending of this because they established enough of a story that I was like, I want to know if she wins the race. I want to see her accomplish her dream.
Fair enough.
But fuck, it's a fetish show. It really is.
Good God. Let's move on. Let's move on.
Yeah.
I don't want to. I want this to be the podcast. The Personal History of David Copperfield is the next one.
Okay.
I think the trailer for this had been out for a while, and I had avoided it for so long because it looked so boring. And then I watched the trailer, and I was like, this is not what I thought it was.
Oh, no. Yeah, I was like, as I was watching, I thought it was going to be one thing, and then it turned. And it just got weirder and weirder and weirder. And then, like, they started revealing how much more diverse the movie actually was. It was just like, hey, this starts off as, like, what you think is just, like, here's some white people with one Indian guy in this British movie. And then it was like, but then it gets weirder. And then there's, like, people of all cultures. And it's strange and...
The humor is so weird.
And there's, like, weird time travel and back and forth. And I was like, what... What is this?
I couldn't place the tone they were going for.
Yeah, but I was like, I wasn't pushed away from it. I was like, I'm actually more intrigued.
Yeah, I want to see this now. It was the movie that I didn't want to see the most. Just looking at trailers coming out, and now I'm like, man,
it looks like it's shot really well. At least visually, it's going to be interesting.
I haven't looked up who's behind it. So I don't know. It people, if you haven't watched the trailer yet, for reasons like this, watch the trailer because
it's
will
just weird.
Surprise you.
It's weird.
Hugh Laurie's in there.
The guy from Slumdog Millionaire is in it. I don't remember his name because I'm bad at names.
Either.
But he's in it. He looks great. The Doctor Who's, one of the Doctor Who's is in it.
There's a Doctor Who in there.
Yeah. The old one, the old man one.
Oh, okay. Yeah, there. I don't know. It's just
Cabaldi. That's his name. Peter Cabaldi. I was like, I should know this.
Right.
Yeah, there's some people in it.
Yeah, I still don't know what the fuck it's about. But,
no, well, not at all.
I know who it's about, but like it's just very all over the place.
Okay, so David Copperfield, is that a magician?
I mean, it is, but this isn't. It's also...
Okay, I was like, the only Copperfield I know is, I think, a 90s magician.
That's the best Copperfield,
and
I
that's
think.
That's. And I was like, I don't think it's. This is about that. So no. There clearly is another David Copperfield that I must have missed somehow.
Really? Okay, so you don't know... I know... Okay, hold on. Hold on. When I... It's
because
I figured it out, man. People are yelling at us right now because
I clicked on this a movie about a magician.
Yeah, let me reveal something that I think people have already figured out is I don't know anything about history or literature. This David Copperfield is the 8th novel by Charles Dickens. It's a Charles Dickens novel.
Okay.
it's I believe that makes it a fictional character. Yes. And then some asshole in the 90s wanted to get laid through magic, and he called himself David Copperfield, made the Statue of Liberty disappear.
Right, I remember that.
And that's the other guy.
Okay.
When I first saw the title of this, I was like, it's probably not about the magician.
Yeah, I went in full in like, oh, it's going to be about this magician.
Oh, man.
And I was expecting like a, what's the magicians who steal things movie that we watch?
Now You See Me.
Yes, I was expecting...
Did you say we watch all the time?
Yeah, which was more than once.
Okay, that's fair.
That's an all the time.
That's fair.
So I was expecting that kind of movie going in based on title alone.
A magic heist?
And I was confused.
I mean, there could be magic heist in this, maybe.
It's possible.
I don't see why not. Man, there's probably going to be a third Now You See Me, and that's going to be a real bummer.
Is it? I'm kind of looking forward to it.
Okay.
They're bad.
They're very bad.
They're very bad.
I guess they do have that National Treasure quality.
They do. Isn't there going to be another National Treasure?
Yeah.
Isn't that great?
That's everything. That's everything
so
to me.
I'm happy about that.
I can't fucking wait. Final trailer. Big Time Adolescence. It's Pete Davidson?
Mm-hmm.
It's like a coming of age, a book smart.
Yeah. It's a teenage boy hanging out with adults that he definitely shouldn't be hanging out with, but it feels wholesome?
Feels indie. It feels like we've kind of figured out this place.
It's like not a super bad. It's like we're taking it slightly more seriously, but there's still humor in this.
Right. Booksmart did this as well. I mean, Booksmart is leaning more towards raunchy comedy, I would say, but like a movie like Eighth Grade, we've realized that you can do a coming of age comedy that isn't sappy, that can be kind of a gross, like, can be kind of just a fun comedy. And this feels like it's probably got a lot of heart in it. Because, you know, Pete Davidson is a pretty complex person.
Yeah.
It sounds like he does a good job in it, but he is ultimately playing, like, the comedic character. But
yeah,
there's
a
lot of layers
I usually don't...
to it.
I, like, grew out of this genre of movie. I was just like, normally these type of styles are like, oh, these are for teenagers.
Have you seen Booksmart?
No. Mostly because I was like, I don't need raunchy... teen humor.
It's pretty great,
but I'm glad they exist for teenagers. Like I grew up, I had my American Pie. It was raunchy and gross, and those people were clearly not teenagers,
right?
And that's I'm good. And the last one I did see was Superbad, and I was like, oh, and I'm as out of this genre forever. It's fine, but I'm glad like they keep improving them and making them funnier and smarter and better. And everything. I just personally don't like reliving teenage years because I don't like recalling those feelings.
You would never watch Eighth Grade. Eighth Grade is
a horror movie. Everybody was just like, Eighth Grade is so good. And I'm like, no, Eighth Grade was literally like the worst time for me. And I do not want to go back.
Yeah. And that's what the movie is.
Yeah. And everyone's like, that's so good. It's just like how it was. And I'm like, oh, I'm nah.
I think there's a push. Booksmart definitely had this. And I suspect this one does too. Because I think there's also a thing with raunchy teen comedies where every single one ever made becomes horribly dated, mm-hmm. like 5 years after it was made. In the language, in like the, obviously the references, but that you can't help that. But they become like, you look back and they're embarrassing.
And the technology is all fucked now. And
I think they realize like we can still be raunchy as shit and not be like horribly homophobic and racist.
Yes.
And it's I think that's what's happening, and I think they've hit a good groove, and I think this might be that. I don't know.
Yeah, I might watch this. I might go out and purchase this.
It's also probably has more layers to it than what they're showing in this.
Yeah. The fact that they didn't like push me away with like her jokes, like of like, let's be gross, even though there was moments.
Yeah.
But it was like,
what was the tattoo? Tongue daddy? Was
yeah.
That
I was like, you got beautiful. Tongue. I was like, oh, that's hilarious.
Yeah. That's perfect.
And he didn't look like, you know, hands in the air, like, what are you going to do? Yeah. It was just very like, he looked like like in that scene, the little bit they showed, he looked like shit. And I was like, oh,
right.
There's going to be consequences.
Yeah. They've also, like, there's scummy people in it. But unlike American Pie, when you watch American Pie, like there's the scumbag things happening, them filming a woman changing.
Yeah. And you're supposed to still root.
You're supposed to be rooting for it.
Well, this was like, there's clearly a scene where they're like showing an attractive 16-year-old.
Yeah.
And the main sleaze is like, nah, man, she's 16. Yeah. And I was like, oh, that's refreshing.
Well, I like that because you could tell he's still a sleaze. And he's just like, nah, she's 16. The kid's like, I'm 16.
He's like, oh. It was just like, oh, yay. They're keeping it appropriate. That's, well, for as far as it goes. But
there's still, there always needs to be a level of it being inappropriate because otherwise it's too safe.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But like, we talked about this with Booksmart. As Booksmart was able to find this place where it's like, it didn't feel safe, but it was fucking responsible. Mm-hmm. Like, and I don't know what that is. I don't know exactly what that groove is. I think it just needs to be more grounded and understanding real consequences.
Keep things awkward. Make sure there's consequences for actions, and make sure that consent is shown.
Glorify shitty consent. Things. Yeah.
And that's, I mean, that seems pretty simple.
Yeah. It's not hard.
Cause even when people want to do things, it's still awkward as fuck and weird and embarrassing. Yeah. And you could still lean into that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You can still have Stifler drink cum. That can find a place.
Good God, that's right. That happened.
Yeah, that movie. That fucking movie.
Oh, no. He did do that.
He sure did. Sean William Scott.
God.
I mean, and then in the Jackass movies, they do it for real with a horse. Speaking of horses.
That's right.
Yeah. They're making a new Jackass.
I think I closed my eyes on that part of the movie.
Well, the movie blurred it out because they like even R-rated. They're like, nope.
Yeah.
Can't show that.
Because I loved the Jackass movies because they were legitimately doing dumb shit. And I was like, well,
I loved the Jackass movies too. It's weird.
Yeah.
I haven't gone back and watched
it. I haven't gone back and watched it, but I do distinctly remember a lot of like tasers, and I remember the highlight scene.
Yep. And one of probably the hardest to watch scene in any movie for me, paper cuts. Cannot
That's
handle
right.
that.
Oh no, you're not watching this right now, but I am.
She is flinching.
Reeling into like, I'm just like,
yeah. She is escaping her body.
Oh no.
It's bad. It's bad. It's one of the most intense dark things I've seen in a fucking movie. And I've seen a lot of dark movies. Yeah.
Did you ever see Bad Grandpa? Sorry, I'm just
no,
also
I
like,
haven't. I haven't seen Bad
Grandpa. I enjoyed Bad Grandpa. That's a movie I took my mom to see, and
Whoa.
She loved it.
Wow.
Which I was surprised. But yeah, Bad Grandpa, same kind of deal. It's Jackass. Slightly more pranky because that's clearly like him.
The pranks have always
But the pranks aren't on the kid at all. It's just people right. around it. And it's still like, there's still a story, which is kind of nice.
Yeah. Yeah. Again, going back to consent, it's kind of the key of stuff like that is as long as they're not doing terrible. This is why Tom Green I never could handle.
Yeah, I couldn't handle Tom
because
Green
he was annoying people. He was just bothering people.
The only times I liked. No, even I like. Wait, no, I'm still thinking Jackass. I was like, I only liked when they bothered their parents.
Right, because their parents obviously consented and like got money through it, and like it was still sometimes dark with the parents because it was like Jesus. But
I mean,
like,
I like that they brought an alligator into their mom's
home. Oh, that was amazing.
That was classic. Those were good times. Oh, Jackass.
Gotta watch Jackass.
Bring it,
what else
bring
we
that back.
Watch?
Do
Mad
it.
Mad Men. Yeah, they're making a new one. And it's, I hope they embrace the fact that they're all old.
God, that's this is gonna be sad.
I don't know. It's like watching old wrestlers where you're like, I'm concerned for different reasons now.
Mm-hmm.
I hope they're okay. They seem, I don't know. I'm sure, again, I trust them to do the right thing, Steve, which would be the wrong thing.
He's still around.
Yeah. Let's go to news stories.
Yay.
We've talked about Jackass on this show way too much.
but it's good. It's classic.
Speaking of jackasses, Eli Roth is going to direct a Borderlands movie. This was announced. Do you have any attachment to these two titles? Eli Roth or Borderlands?
I know of Borderlands. And I know it's the whole, like... Wait, I'm thinking of the version of the game when they're on the moon the whole time. There's a version of the game where they're on the moon the whole time.
I don't think that's Borderlands. No, I've only played the new Borderlands, and it is a fun game. It's a first-person shooter, but it has, like, kind of RPG elements.
Yeah, you go around and you're trying to, like, defeat Handsome Jack? Or did that happen already?
I really checked out for the plot.
Okay, I couldn't get into it because the story was kind of weird, and I didn't like the art style of the video game. It was, they just couldn't.
The cell shading weirdness.
Yeah.
This is a time where we really could use Tom, because Tom is a Borderlands fan, and he is a man who actually likes Eli Roth, some of his movies.
Sorry, Tom.
Yeah, I like Borderlands.
Eli Roth
attached.
Was in the Quentin Tarantino movie?
He was. He showed up in those. He directed Cabin Fever. He directed Hostel. He
directed all these movies that I'm like, oh, fuck.
Movies you would never want to watch.
Because they're horrifying.
Yeah. I have a lot of issues
with Borderlands,
Eli Roth.
Like, generally very, like, gory?
Yeah. It's got gore.
Big old monsters.
I think the tone works. I think it's a little different than what Eli Roth does.
Okay.
But the tone of humor / gore is something he definitely knows.
Okay.
Yeah, I really enjoyed Cabin Fever, and when that came out, which I assume you haven't seen it?
No, not sorry. Sorry, guys.
It's basically what made it unique is it's a horror movie where there's no monster. It's just a disease in the water.
Oh.
So it's like a body horror movie of people dying of a disease, and there's paranoia and like shit like that.
Mm.
And it was like seeing that, I was like, oh, shit.
Like the situation where it's more of a thriller horror, but leaning a little
bit
more on
horror? No, it was very much a horror. It was done. Okay. I won't describe some of the scenes because it's very body horror. That seemed like a good start. And then he did Hostel. And then he did that Green Inferno, and he did something in between, and it started becoming these really like if you go through his movies, the villain is just people who aren't like straight white bros. Like in Cabin Fever, there's like the Southerns people, like the people in the South that are portrayed as like creepy and like kind of, and then like Hostel is just about like college kids going overseas and getting like tortured by foreign people. And then Green Inferno is about going to like the Amazon to save the rainforest, and then
it's
a tribe kills them.
It's a lot of like,
it's all
you didn't
like,
belong here and you went into their space.
Yeah.
But and now you're going to, but it's also like everywhere else is savages. It's just bad.
It's like demonizing the others by being in their space. Yeah. And so it became this thing where I was like, oh, he kind of only has one thing, and it's always body horror or torture horror, which is, I think, the cheapest type of horror. So
because it's not clever. It's everybody cringes at pain.
Right. And so he kind of lost my attention.
I see.
But a Borderlands, I think he could branch out. I think he did... He did The House with the Clock in Its Walls, I think. Did you see that?
Nope.
That's a kid's horror film, and it's very good. And it made me realize, oh, Eli Roth should...
do that.
Yeah, like if he did other things,
where
maybe
it's like,
I'd
hey,
like him.
You can't lean on your crutch of horror, body horror.
Yeah.
How do you scare people? And then he's good at that.
Yeah, so maybe this will be very good, because I think he does have range that he's not tapping.
Okay.
Yeah. That's all I have to say about that. let's go to the next one. This is also, I mean, this is a big deal for me. There's been some rumors, a tweet, and like a source, a webpage that the tweet is more substantial because it's from an official account.
Mm-hmm.
But it appears that Mark Snow is doing the score to the New Mutants. For people who don't know.
So who is Mark Snow?
He did the X-Files.
Oh!
He's the composer of the X-Files.
Oh!
The X-Files theme. He's been a composer for... he continues to be a composer. So it's not that special that he's suddenly doing this. But I'm very excited.
That's amazing! Yeah. X-Files score is fantastic.
It is. It really is.
It's good and spooky.
Yeah, it's good. Yeah, it's good and spooky.
It's properly spooky.
Yeah, proper spooky. Good job, Mark Snow. Yeah, it's just him on like a synth keyboard for the whole show.
Yeah, I was going to say, you got a lot of woo-woos in there. And
oh, yeah.
That's nice.
Yeah, and aww. So I don't know if the New Mutants will be anything like that, but...
Is Mark Snow on Twitter?
I don't know. We should ask. We should find out and ask.
I feel
him.
Like that's also... someone who should be on Twitter that you should follow and just be like, man, good job on the woo-woos.
Yeah. Well, apparently part of the X-Files theme, I think one of the more iconic notes was caused by him, I think, accidentally dropping something on his keyboard. And he was like, oh, that's good. I'll put it in. Yeah. So I hope this is true. I hope Mark Snow is doing the New Mutant soundtrack, and I hope he does it on a 90s keyboard. I hope he doesn't update.
Oh, that's going to be so good.
Yeah.
I'm excited. I'm like, that's great.
Yeah. Next story is Mulan, which is receiving a PG-13 rating.
Well, I mean, it's at war.
Yeah.
I would.
Does this not surprise you?
No, because it's like they're being more serious.
Right.
With it. There's no song and dancing. There's nothing to like appeal to the original thing. Mushu's not in it. It's so they're just doing like a semi-historical movie about a legend. And if you're showing war, you're kind of going to have to show people cutting each other up and dying. Like, there's no way for that to be PG.
Well, I think it could be because Disney has a way of making a lot of real fucked up shit be PG, right? Just by not showing it. And, you know, you get Scar ripped apart by hyenas. And
but then because you can do that in a cartoon because you could, like, visually show.
Yeah, in the new one that's CGI, didn't they? Isn't that PG? Because they certainly show that.
They don't. They show him.
They do the silhouette again.
They do the silhouette. But that's the thing. Like, you could. But I don't think you could silhouette a whole war. And
no,
animals are different. Because. Because
they have no soul.
Well, they're. Because it's like nature. It's like nature or whatever. Yeah. Like, you could kind of. Like, I don't think any National Geographic thing is considered PG-13, even though you see,
true.
Like. Animals getting ripped apart.
That's fair. It does make sense. And for the record, this is the second time today I've claimed that animals have no soul on a podcast, and I apologize. It does make sense. They're clearly going for something here. They're going for the adult people who know the
cartoon.
I
can't reward these movies. I've not paid money for a single.
I think you can
reboot except for the
more.
First one they did, which was really bad, but I was like, you tried, so you got my money.
I think you can reward these more because it's not the
it's
same
like it's
movie.
Just a historical reboot
but
thing.
Then there's all the political stuff with Hong Kong.
I don't
want
to touch that.
I'm
they're
probably
gonna
see
Lilo and Stitch, and I'm really bummed out.
Yeah, that's fucked
that.
Up. It's not surprising,
but the original voice of Stitch and the creator of Stitch, Chris Sanders, the animator, is coming back to do the voice of Stitch.
That's at least a little better.
Yes, that's exactly it. A little bit better because I'm going to be excited to hear Ohana Means Family in his voice again. Mm-hmm. But I don't need a CGI Stitch.
Yeah, one of the biggest fuck yous about these movies are that they're taking work of other creators. And I mean, I guess this is all remakes. But the fact that it's Disney doing it, taking the properties, the works of other people, and just shot for shot doing it again is like, well, fuck you too, Disney. Like, that's messed up.
Yeah, so at least for Lilo and Stitch, the creator of Stitch has a role in Stitch, and I'm assuming
he's
will be getting paid for it. So there's that.
Did you ever see the original version where Stitch hijacks
the
plane?
The airplane?
Yeah.
Yep.
And then 9/11
beautiful
happened, and they're like,
beautiful sequence, and they were like, oh, we can't do that.
Yep.
Same thing, they also cut out a lot of the more Lilo addressing racism in Hawaii scenes.
And Disney was like, nah, you can't.
Yeah, they're like, you can't.
We're Disney.
Yeah, we can't do that. And if you haven't looked it up, look it up. It's a scene where Lilo, she keeps interacting with tourists who keep stopping her to ask her where the beach is, and she's just like pointing them in all sorts of wrong directions.
Oh, that's delightful.
And then she like also scares the shit out of a bunch of tourists to get them off the beach. This is before I think she gets Stitch, so it's just showing her being a quote-unquote delinquent, but also her just being like, these people don't fucking belong here.
That's interesting, because that completely changes her character, because the only thing we know about her is that she's like taking pictures of the fat tourists.
Oh, yeah, no,
she
she's...
goes, aren't they beautiful?
No, yeah, no, no, she's like... fuck these people. That's she's right. very more actively like, go away.
That really changes.
Because they treat her like part of the scenery.
Like the help. Like
she, yeah. And so she's just like, nah, I'm gonna fuck with y'all.
That's great.
And it's great. Yeah.
There should be a director's cut of that.
Maybe they'll do it in the live action. Yeah. They actually might, because you have to actually hire... Ideally, you're hiring actual Hawaiians.
Hopefully. I think they've learned their lesson at this point, right? They know. Mm. Yeah, I know. I know. I keep saying this. I said it about Messiah. Although my parents have been watching Messiah, and they said at least it's not a complete nightmare. But I don't know. I haven't watched it, so I'm not going to vouch for it.
Can't believe that was real.
I can't fucking. Of course it was. Of course it
God.
Was.
God.
So a final story is about Martin McDonagh. He's making a new film, with Colin Farrell and Brendan Gleeson. Do you know the significance of this?
Were they in, the movie that starts with a B together?
In Bruges.
Yes.
Same director, same cast.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. I'm so glad I guessed right. Cause yeah. I love that movie. That was a great movie.
Yes, it's an amazing movie. Martin McDonagh, he did Three Billboards Outside Ebbing, Missouri. Did you see that?
No, but I've heard good things because, but it was, it seemed like a movie where it was like, I'm going to hate everybody in this movie.
No, I mean.
Except the mom.
Frances McDormand is a fucking, she's amazing. At
yeah.
That.
But yes, in Brute, I love that movie very much. Although it's a movie where I'm, when I'm thinking about the plot, I don't remember what. It is, but I really enjoy Colin Farrell.
Well, it's a lot of it's Brendan Gleeson and Colin Farrell like having really fun conversations yeah. with each
Did
other.
Did they also do
heads.
Seven Psychopaths? Is that also in the same vein?
Yeah, I think that's the same director.
Because I love that movie too. Yeah. Seven Psychopaths is fantastic.
Yeah. Martin McDonagh is also the realization, because this happens, I think, with a lot of pretty guys, happened to Ryan Reynolds, where... They have to really work at it to make people realize that they're fucking hilarious.
Yeah.
And Martin McDonagh saw like Colin Farrell and knew like yeah. this guy is funny. And until maybe he did. I mean, I think he did Bullseye from Daredevil at Ooh. That point already, which was kind of comedic. But like he had done a lot of like
not
thrillers
comedically
when
on
he
purpose.
Was, like, boring.
That wasn't on purpose.
I think Colin Farrell knew. I don't know if the director knew. He is funny. He kills a woman with a peanut in a plane. Like
that's right.
Yeah. But yeah.
Oh, no.
This is apparently about two friends who are on a trip together, and one of them decides that he doesn't want to be his friend anymore. They're like lifelong friends.
So this
and
is like
I don't
a breakup
know,
friendship movie?
Yeah, with those guys. And it's like, fuck, yeah, I can't wait for that.
Yeah, I'm going to watch the fuck out of that. That's yeah. going to be fantastic. He also is really good at pacing. That's yeah. what I remember. It's just like, I like the rhythm of his movies.
Yes, for sure. He's able to perfectly mix really funny moments and have extremely like sad moments mm-hmm. or heartfelt moments right after. He's also really big on... meta stuff on Seven Psychopaths is basically about how it's a setup of an action movie, and then they take drugs in the desert, and they're like, why can't people just talk things out? And that's sort of what happens.
Yeah, that's kind of what happens. And then like, but there's still always this tension because you know you're literally dealing with psychopaths.
Yeah.
So you're like, at any point you could lose your shit, and sometimes they do, sometimes they don't. It's good.
Yeah.
It's good. Oh, that poor dog. Yeah. I'm just flashing back. I'm like,
oh,
yeah.
Shit. Yeah, I'm excited for this. This is a director where I want to see him do other stuff. He would be, no, maybe not. I was going to say, I would be curious to see what he'd do with a Marvel film. That said, take away his claws and it wouldn't be, it would be a waste of his time.
If Marvel would allow the directors they hire to actually just go all out and do what they want to do.
Yeah.
Without necessarily having the constrictions of it must tie in to the rest of the MCU.
Right.
Then yes. But because that's just a long running TV show.
Yeah.
That's not going to happen.
I think the only director still who's gotten away with it is Shane Black with Iron Man 3.
Yeah.
That is the even more so than Thor
but
Ragnarok.
But that's they were
it's
still just kind of developing
yeah.
the they're MCU at feelers. That point. And the only time they let them go all off is when they think they're about to end the arc of the character, and they're like, yeah, fuck it, go do something. And then look, Ragnarok happens, and now they're like, oh shit, we've renewed Thor. Like, it's refreshed. Can we do more of this?
And they should.
Really should.
Martin McDonagh has no place in that, frankly, because he clearly wants to do more adult films about more complex issues and like.
I kind of want Colin Farrell in the Marvel universe. Though.
Has he not been? I mean, technically, Daredevil.
No.
He was
unless
in Daredevil.
Reboot it again? Yeah. Maybe. I don't know.
Why not? We're rebooting Blade. I think only because Mahershala Ali showed up and Marvel was like, well, that guy has to be Blade.
Let's yeah, clearly.
Blade. Yeah. So maybe if someone comes along. Although I do want them to put Ghost Rider back in the universe and keep Nicolas Cage.
I mean, he was in the universe in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
But he wasn't played by Nicolas Cage.
No, he's played by in the comics, the Ghost Rider... I forgot his name, but it's a young Latino dude who becomes Ghost Rider to save the life of his little brother, who I think was shot. I could be very wrong, but it's a Latino kid. And so in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., they brought that character in as
yeah,
because
there's more. I think the whole
it's around the time Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. lost me, because I was enjoying the Ghost Rider arc, and then they started doing weird shit with ghosts, and I was like, and I'm out.
That's
it was
fair.
Weird.
I think I watched a couple episodes of that and I didn't hate it. It just felt very much like television.
Yes.
Network television.
It was a weird show because you knew they were constrained by the movies. So you could see them trying to write around these movies, and then suddenly you couldn't watch the show until you watched the movie, because you would just go into the next episode and suddenly be spoiled by the movie that just came out.
Everything would change.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like when the Hail Hydra situation happened in the movies.
And Winter Soldier.
Literally, the one episode, it's like, we're fighting... Whatever they were calling the bad guys, right. Suddenly they were like, everybody switch shields, Hydra, and they all had to deal with that. And we're like, man, if you didn't see the movie that weekend, you would have been fucked.
I hope the showrunners got a little bit of a heads up, and
I think they did because they have to figure out how to rewrite.
Right, they have to know
everybody.
What's going on.
But that resulted in a really good twist. They had a good character who was horrible as a good guy, and when they swapped it, he was an amazing bad guy.
Oh.
Really good bad guy, and that lasted them for a bit, and then they got to a point where it's like, now they have to wait for the movies again, right. And they show kind of...
It definitely would have been... I bet it would have been better if they knew from season one that was going to happen, right? Like, that's what it feels like, is that the showrunners get some warning, but it's also, imagine... making a TV show where randomly someone's just like, no, this is your plot now.
Yeah.
And it's you're like, we didn't set that up. Or,
okay, wait, are we not doing Inhumans? Because we were starting to introduce the Inhumans and you're saying, how do we do that? How do we make X-Men when we don't have X-Men, but all these characters that we're using are definitely X-Men?
I kind of want to watch it now because I would root for the writers while watching. They would be the heroes.
I would go back and just look up summaries and I would always be intrigued. Because there's certain characters I'm like, I love these characters, what do you do with them? All right, cool, I don't know if I could handle that right now, great. But I think it ended on a relatively good note for the fans that stuck it out.
That's
people
cool.
were happy.
I heard Bill Paxton exploded in it.
Oh yeah, he did.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Yeah. And I still don't, they still never really have a good excuse for why Coulson, I mean, they do know why, Coulson comes back, but the fact that no one in the regular MCU ever figures out that he's back.
It's
kind of like, guys, bring Coulson back in the movies. Just
bring him back.
Just do it.
They did. Well, they did for Captain Marvel, but they had to make him all young.
Yeah. No,
I
was like
Michael
was
Douglas.
Like, bring him back for real. Yeah. Just do it. It would be great. Thanks.
Yeah, he was fantastic. I get it. I get they wanted to make a character that everybody loved and then kill him.
That's what Whedon's MO.
Yeah, he literally says it as his last words.
He's like, I do that, guys. Don't fall in love with any of my characters. I will kill them.
Yeah. But fuck it. Bring them back. Who gives a shit?
It's comic books.
Yeah. All right. That's it for news stories.
All right. Well, what movies deserve more hype, Dave?
Yeah, you did it.
I did it.
I have to be prompt. I don't do it unless someone asks. Otherwise, I just shut down.
I was going to say, I'm like, oh, it feels like it's ending. Wait, no, must ask the question.
Yeah, must ask the question. This is a movie called Last and First Man. Did you watch the trailer?
I did watch the trailer, and I was like,
This is
spooky, but I like the sounds. And then after I watched that, I went and read the description, because I like going into the trailers blind before I read what you like write in your notes. And then I went back and I was just like, oh, that's why this sounded beautifully. And then I was just like, oh, wait, this guy's dead.
Yeah, he's super dead. This is the first and the last film of, and I'm going to fuck up his name, which is a shame, is Johan.
Yeah.
Johan Johansson. Well, I didn't fuck up his name.
Or Johan Johansson?
Johansson. I'm more worried about those spooky O's with a line above them.
I think it's to denote Yo instead of Joe.
Oh, thank you.
I think. Yo.
I don't know, man. I went to a charter school for performance arts, so I don't know anything.
Yeah, we're wrong, we're wrong. The internet will tell us.
So this is the composer for movies like Arrival and Mandy. A lot of Denis Villeneuve films. He's an amazing composer, that's for sure. And he is doing the music for this, but he also directed it. It's based off of a sci-fi book that inspired people like H.P. Lovecraft and like a lot of... It's like a lot of spooky science fiction.
It's like future humans that aren't humans anymore, because it's so far in the future that they're not technically humans anymore.
Yes. This is about, it's about like 8 stages of humanity. The book is, at least, and it's very surreal. There's not really characters in the book, and it's
this feels like a good artsy jam. Like if you're like, let's think about what it means to be a person.
It's about humans on the verge of extinction. And they the only thing in the world is these monuments, and they beaming like a message. And I that's all I really know. All I know is that this is definitely not a film for everybody. It's probably an abstract piece. The only cast member, the only person credited for actors is Tilda Swinton.
Yeah,
as
she's
narrator.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, I know exactly what this is going to be. This is going like, to be a fucking wild ride.
I want to watch it because I could be down with watching an art movie if I know going in 100% I was like, oh, this is not a movie.
Yeah,
it's just art.
Blast yourself with weed.
Yeah. It's going to be one of those.
Yeah. This is premiering at a German film festival on February 25th. I don't know when it's going to be on streaming. We don't really know much about it.
Does Tilda speak German?
No, I don't think it's in German. Oh, actually, it's probably in every language if you just get a new narrator to do it.
Yeah.
But yeah, this guy, he died before his time. He was like 48. I didn't look up how he died. It's not important. He was an amazing artist, and he made this film before he died.
I watched this trailer at work, like with the speakers out loud, not realizing my coworker was going to come back, and they came back and they're like, "What?" And they were immediately. It's a short trailer. There's nothing. It's a trailer that's truly a trailer where you're like, I don't know what this is about.
Yeah.
And immediately intrigued. And I was like, yeah, Johan. He was like, the dude, the Mandy guy. He's like, fuck, I'm in. Like, and I was like, man, like, I didn't realize how much hype.
Oh,
he had
so
hype.
Good. Yeah.
For it. He's like, I'm in. I'm going to watch this. I was like, cool. I don't know what it's about. He's like, doesn't matter.
I don't think it's about. I think the trailer is actually a perfect sample of what the movie is about, because I have a suspicion that it's going to be shots like that the whole movie with narration. It's going to be like
just sound pretty.
Yeah, it's going to be like Tree of Life or any of them what's his face films, Terrence Malick. It's going to be very surreal. It's going to be an art piece. That's my assumption. It looks really beautiful though.
Yeah.
And I don't know, there's
and haunting.
Something haunting, yeah. And there's something that really gets me about the end of mankind. I really like that plot. Like stories that take place at the extinction.
Because it's actually it's bound to happen.
Right. And I what I mean by that is not asteroids or something, but a natural, like billions of years later, what has mankind become?
Mm-hmm.
There's a Aeon Flux. The last episode.
Yes, where they're like the weird not people. And right. They're like in the tube.
Yeah. And of course, Trevor just wants to fuck them because that's all he ever wants to do.
Yeah.
And then
true.
Eon wants to fuck him because that's all she ever wants to do too, and that's great. Good
There's a early episode of the Doctor Who reboot where the character, they go into the future and they're at an end of Earth party.
That's the only Doctor Who episode I've ever watched.
With the lady with the face. Yeah. Moisturize me. Yeah. That bit, but the concept of that, of like, oh, you're billions of years into the future. Everything that happened on Earth is going to be gone because right. the sun is going to absorb it.
Right.
And only maybe fragments of humanity's existence will exist out in space somewhere. There's something
really cool about that.
Cool. Yeah. That there's something, at least for me, when I want a comforting thought and I'm really stressed, it's easy for me to go, none of this really matters because one day all of this will be gone.
Yeah, we'll just be all just atoms.
The thing that you're stressed out about, but not even like in the sense of like, I'm gone. It's like, no. All of these humanity. Problems, everything will be gone.
Right.
Because the sun is going to absorb this rock.
And it doesn't matter.
And it doesn't matter.
The job, that hit and run you didn't tell anybody about. Like, none of it matters.
But so because it doesn't matter.
I'm really glad this is how we're ending our hype cast.
But here's the thing. Because it doesn't matter, that means the moments that you're experiencing are like precious. And it, right. But it's also like.
They're unique. They're yours.
They're unique. They're yours. And the things that are stressing you out don't like. Like, not to say don't let it stress you out, because obviously it's stressing you out. But like, if it helps reduce the bigness of the stress to realize that it doesn't matter, great. And then in the opposite end of that, to go, hey, all this time's precious, enjoy the bit of time that you have, because right. man, it doesn't really matter, so try to experience something. I like using the end of the world as my two sides of like whenever I'm feeling depressed, like anxious, it doesn't matter, world's gonna end. A little sad, it's like, it's okay. Look, like, enjoy the little bit of time you got.
Right, exactly. Get hyped.
Get hyped for the end of the fucking Earth.
For the inevitability of nothingness. No, but I agree with you. I think it's a good way of looking at things. Because it's fucking, it's like the only, like, it's, I mean, that's the worst idea is what if it never stops?
And it's just endless.
Yeah, that's a nightmare. Jeez.
Yeah, no, I used to be a person who wanted to like kind of live for as long as I can, like forever. And I was just like, nah, that's a bad idea.
Yeah, only if it was vampire rules, maybe. Because vampires always have an out. You always have an out when you're a vampire. Like if the earth explodes, then the sun's there and you're done too.
Yeah.
It has to be certain rules. But if you're like Dr. Manhattan or whatever,
and you're just
like,
existing and you can't connect to humanity anymore, that's a problem.
Yeah, that's a bummer, man.
Yeah.
I think about that with like Thor, and like Thor had that this is such a tangent. Thor had that relationship with Natalie Portman, and it's like that's like if one of us had like a relationship with a hamster, because like that
it's like a blip. Somebody pointed out like the age of Thor comparatively, like if you put it on a human scale, he's like 900 something years old, but in his like Thor years, he's only like 20 something.
Yeah.
So all of like all the Marvel movies was just him like barely in his couple
his
years of his
20s. Yeah.
Yeah. Not even the whole 20s. It's like 22 to 24.
Right.
Four.
It's just like a couple semesters.
Yeah. And you're like, just like, man, that was a wild time for you.
Yeah. It's his party years. But he'll grow up and everybody else will die and he'll move on.
And he'll be a god, I guess, again. And then maybe learn that colonization is bad.
He'll get some new humans to play with. Probably. Until time explodes and everything turns into dust.
Yeah.
So yeah, guys. this is kind of a perfect conversation for this film. Because this is exactly what this film is invoking. Like,
yes.
Like thoughts and feelings wise. So if you're into that, if you want to get blasted on weed and think about the end of everything and how beautiful it kind of is, fucking check out this movie.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh man, I'm really looking forward to this movie.
I'm
genuinely
hyped about it.
Hyped. Truly.
We got there.
Yeah. It only took thinking about the death of the universe to get hyped.
Yeah.
That's nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The big dark rest.
Thank you for inviting me, Dave.
Thanks for being on. This was delightful. This was great. Star, I want you to tell us where we can find you.
You can find me on Twitter at StarlineX, pronounced Starlene X. You can find me on Instagram at Starlene, spelled Starline. You could read my webcomic about witches in Los Angeles at rubywhipple.com, Ruby spelled with an I. Those are my things? Those are my things.
Those are your things.
Yeah.
Thank you. And I should mention our Patreon, patreon.com/gamefullyunemployed. We have exclusive podcasts like Tom and Jeff Watch Batman and Fox Mulder is a Maniac. You know this. You know all of this. You can become a producer of this show. There's a tier where you can ask us to watch movies and we just watches for it. There's a lot going on. So check it out. And check out our TeePublic store, teepublic.com/stores/gamefullyunemployed, because there's a lot of great artwork by Star on
yeah,
there.
Yeah, I got Fox Mulder as a maniac, poster art, all that stuff, and the Bane. Where's Bane?
Where's the Bane? We're back to it. Full circle. All right. Say goodbye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Our music is produced by Chris Corlew. You can follow him on Twitter at thecorlew, C-O-R-L-E-W, and find more music at shipwreckedsailor.bandcamp.com. Our artwork is produced by Justin Brown. You can follow him on Twitter at Justin T. Brown, and find more of his artwork at artnessbyjustinbrown.com and justinbrown.info.